Good day, this is Greg, and I'll be reading the Vermilion County News for Tuesday, August 20th, 2019. Our first story is from the front page of the Commercial News, and it's entitled Council to Act on Permanent Police Chief. And this is by Jennifer Bailey. Danville, the new extended deadline is Wednesday for casino proposals, but Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. says don't expect any update at tonight's City Council meeting. Williams said on Monday no casino update is expected because nothing has changed from the last one given. Also, according to Vermilion Advantage's president and CEO Vicky Haugen, there will be no further discussions publicly until after the final deadline, which is midnight Wednesday. The Danville City Council tonight is expected to approve the appointments of Acting Police Chief Chris Yates as permanent police chief, Sam Cole as city engineer, and Sydney Boyd to the Danville Public Library Board. Williams said there was no additional search for a permanent police chief. Although I interviewed the other commanders for the interim public safety director position, Chief Yates demonstrated during his time in that position and as acting police chief that he has the character, leadership, and vision needed to help our police department and city achieve our highest potential. Therefore, I am honored that he has agreed to be our permanent police chief, according to Williams. Yates became interim public safety director after replacing Danville Public Safety Director Larry Thomason. Thomason retired at the end of March after serving almost 49 years with the city. Yates then became acting police chief in May after city officials approved reverting back to police and fire chiefs. At that time, Williams said the appointment lengths were due to be determined due to union negotiations and the hiring processes. Job descriptions, finances, and salary ranges and other issues also needed to be worked out for the permanent police and fire chief positions, he previously said. Acting fire chief is Don McMasters. Yates's salary is $125,000. Thomason's salary had been $68,929. The city had rehired former police officer Thomason to the civilian position of public safety director. Thomason also received his pension while as director. Yates has been in law enforcement for 24 years. He started with the Vermilion County Metropolitan Enforcement Group in 1995. He was sworn in with the DPD in 1997, and he served as a patrolman, COPS officer, field training officer, sergeant in patrol and investigations, promoted to commander in 2005, emergency response unit commander since 2005, and is a member of the internal affairs unit. He was born in Danville and is a 1990 graduate from Bismarck Henning. Yates has a criminal justice degree from Danville Area Community College and an administration of justice degree from Southern Illinois University at Carbondale. He also served 6 years in the Illinois National Guard Infantry. Also tonight, City Council members are expected to act on an amendment to city code pertaining to intoxicating liquor and video gaming revenue. The liquor ordinance change grandfathers in existing license holders, but requires new license holders not to receive more than 49% of their revenue from gaming, according to Williams. Some bar owners, including the pubs Drew Rush and Dale's Place's Greg Felisky, were concerned about the city ordinance language causing some bars to close. Williams said that was never the intent, and city officials have wanted to prevent standalone video gaming cafes. Felisky said he'd still not like to see the video gaming cafes because they would hurt local clubs and organizations and businesses. In other business, the council will consider the following: purchasing a 2020 New Way Sidewinder automated refuse truck for $274,520 from Rantoul Truck Center through the National Joint Powers Alliance state contract. Funding comes from the city's Solid Waste Fund for other capital equipment. Also, approving a $21,800 engineering contract with Donahue and Associates of Champaign for the Poland Road Pump Station Rehabilitation and a Sewer Budget Amendment. Also, approving submission of a grant application for a $37,204 2019 Edward Byrne Memorial Justice Assistance Grant for the city. The city's portion will be $20,834, and Vermilion County's portion will be $16,370. The city's funds will be used to pay overtime costs for focused patrols in high crime areas where gang and gun violence have historically been known to occur. And our next story is entitled Committed to Community. Salvation Army welcomes new officer. And this story is by Carol Rome. Danville. Salvation Army Major Jason Pollum has been in Danville not quite 2 months, but already has been considering ways the local corps can be more responsive to the community. Pollum moved to Danville June 24th and is now at the helm of the local Salvation Army headquarters at 855 East Fairchild Street. He had been in charge of the Salvation Army in Mattoon for the last 3 years. After 5 years at the Danville Corps, co-captains John and Faith Woodard now serve as associate officers at the Salvation Army in Bismarck, North Dakota. Their last day in Danville was June 21st. Pollum has been associated with the Salvation Army for 36 years, 30 years of which he was an officer. He said individuals who have served as a Salvation Army officer for more than 15 years reach the rank of major. A Wisconsin native, Pollum said he has been fortunate to have served in a narrow geographical area of the upper Midwest. "This is my 12th assignment," he said, of coming to Danville. "I've served in southern Michigan, northern Indiana, and northern Illinois. I have lived more of my life outside of my home state than in it." Pollum said Danville is a pretty community and is eager to experience the area's parks, such as Kickapoo State Park and Kennecott County Preserve. One evening, he took in the sights and sounds of the Georgetown Fair. "I've had 5-year appointments and 6-year appointments before, and I've asked for at least a 4-year appointment in Danville," he said. That's because his son, Carson, started Schlarman Academy as a freshman this week. Pollum said he is still learning about Danville and has had some help along the way from local Salvation Army Advisory Board members Larry Thomason, who is the retired public safety director, and Alderwoman Brenda Brown. Both reached out to Pollum shortly after he arrived. "I've been meeting people in the community to find out how we can best meet the needs," he said. "I've received warm welcomes and friendliness." Danville's employment situation has affected and transformed the community, he said, referring to the loss of the General Motors foundry in 1995. "I see some of the dynamics here, which were the same as when I served in Jackson, Michigan." "Danville is rural, but it has dynamics of urban life," he said. "It's a good community. It's just that there are a lot of needs." "Danville has a rich history and rich stories," he said. "If people work together, it can have a rich future." One of the first changes Pollum plans to make is in staffing at the local corps. The Danville Salvation Army fell short of reaching its goal in the Red Kettle campaign and mail appeals last winter, prompting the layoffs of 2 part-time employees in March. "The first change will be staffing, so we can remain responsive to Danville and Vermilion County," he said. "We need more paid hours dedicated toward being a servant to the community. I'm looking to spend money but I'm looking at how to pay for it, he said. My goal is to ensure the Danville Salvation Army is as responsive to the community as possible. Danville Corps isn't in the red, but there was a trend. We need to get a handle on it before it becomes a detriment to the community, he said of the challenge to collect money during the Red Kettle campaign to cover the operating expenses at the local corps each year. Recognizing that people's habits have changed and that fewer people carry cash, Pollum said the Salvation Army has plans to make donating easier, as well as volunteering to ring bells. We know society has changed, and the way people shop has changed, he said. The Salvation Army recognizes the way people donate has changed. Pollum believes an online site called Register to Ring should be available this November for organizations, workplaces, and individuals in the Danville area that would like to schedule a time to volunteer to ring bells during the Red Kettle campaign. People won't have to make a call or come to the Salvation Army to sign up, he said. They can register online and lock down their time, and the system will send out email reminders of their time. People also will be given an option to make a donation digitally. They can donate right there at the kettle, he said. It is going to transform the kettles into digital marketplaces. Before Pollum joined the Salvation Army, he attended a couple years of college and was working as a draftsman. He believes his life of service with the Salvation Army was a calling from God. There were influences along the way. I needed to find out who God was, he said. I woke up one morning and decided if I didn't go to church right then, I would never go. It was God's way of telling me he had something else for me, he said. It was God getting my attention and leading me to do this. And this is where God and the Salvation Army have led me, he said of Danville. I want to build some good relationships in the community. I want to be a force for good in Danville and the county. Many of the programs already in place at the Danville Corps are ones Pollum plans to continue, such as the twice weekly food distribution, Sal's Closet and supportive services for veteran families. Sal's Closet is open not only to victims of residential fires or other losses, but also to families in need of clothing. Sal's Closet is open from 9 to 11 a.m. and 1 to 3 p.m. on Thursdays. The Corps' food pantry is open from 1 to 3:30 p.m. on Tuesdays and Fridays. Each week, Salvation Army's Sunday School starts at 10 a.m., with worship services starting at 11:15 a.m. I'm happy to be here, Pollum said. I'm looking forward to being a part of the community and to the opportunities ahead. And now we're going to turn for a few minutes to check the obituaries for Tuesday, August 20th, 2019. The first is for Robert C. Weist. Robert, or Bob Weist, 84, of Danville, passed away at 9:55 p.m. Saturday, August 17th, 2019, at Hawthorne Inn in Danville. Please omit any flower remembrances. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made to the Weist New Book Memorial Fund at the Danville Public Library or to the charity of your choice. Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville is handling the arrangements. There will be no local observances. Graveside services and burial will be at 10 a.m. Central Daylight Time on Tuesday, August 20th, in Columbia Church Cemetery in Princeton, Indiana. Joe Brown. Joe L. Brown, 76, of Oakwood, passed away at 7:53 a.m. Saturday, August 17th, 2019, at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center in Danville. Private graveside services will be conducted at a later date. Robison Chapel in Catlin is assisting the family with service details. Gwendolyn Brown. Gwendolyn G. Brown, 79, of Hubston, passed away at 3:30 p.m. Friday, August 17, 2019, at Accolade Healthcare in Paxton. Graveside services will be at 11 a.m. Tuesday, August 20th, at Floral Hill Cemetery in Hubston. The family has entrusted the Blurton Funeral Home to assist them in honoring Gwendolyn's life. Max Anderson. Max Anderson, 70, of Danville, died at 3:12 p.m. Saturday at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center in Danville. Memorial services will be at noon Thursday at St. Paul Catholic Church at 1303 North Walnut Street in Danville. The Reverend Bowen Schmidt will officiate. Visitation will be from 10 a.m. to noon on Thursday at the church. Rortbett Funeral Services in Tilton is in charge of arrangements. Delbert Foltz. Delbert Foltz, 93, of Danville, formerly of Urbana, died at 7:05 a.m. Monday, August 19th, at OSF Heart of Mary Medical Center in Urbana. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Renner Wyckoff Chapel and Crematory at 1900 South Philo Road in Urbana. Nancy Mae Pollock. Nancy Mae Pollock, 82, of Oakwood, died at 1:12 p.m. Saturday, August 17th, at Garden View Manor in Danville. Memorial services will be at 11 a.m. Saturday at Oakwood United Methodist Church, 200 Oakwood Street in Oakwood. Rortbett Funeral Services of Tilton is in charge of the arrangements. Kenneth Ubrin. Kenneth Ubrin, 77, of Hubston, died at 8:08 a.m. Monday, August 19th, at Heritage Health Hubston in Hubston. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Rortbett Funeral Services in Tilton. And we're going to jump over to the News Gazette now for a moment for an article with an update on the Danville Casino. And this is entitled, Time's Up, Still Only Two Bids In. And this is by Tracy Crane. Danville. With the city's extended deadline for casino development applications here, the count still stands at two. City officials aren't saying which companies submitted them, nor have they revealed whether one came from a group led by former Danville banker Craig Campbell, who has spoke at city council meetings and on social media about ideas for developing a casino in downtown Danville. While some aldermen and local residents like the sound of a downtown casino, those leading the selection process disclosed in early July a preferred site close to the state line, south of the Lynch Drive exit along Interstate 74. When city officials decided last week to extend the proposal deadline to today, Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. said they believed that extra time might result in one or more additional applicants. Since June 28th, when Governor J.B. Pritzker signed the gambling expansion legislation that created six new casino licenses in Illinois, Danville and five other municipalities have been scrambling to court developers, secure a site, and negotiate deals in time to submit an application to the Illinois Gaming Board by its October 28th deadline. Casino operators must apply to the state board for a license and pay a non-refundable $250,000 fee along with the application. With such a short window, Danville officials originally asked for proposals by July 31st, then pushed that deadline to today. Campbell had lobbied aldermen to extend it to early September. But once proposals are submitted, the steering committee needs time to review them and ensure all requirements have been met, including securing the site and zoning approval, and the city must negotiate agreements with the chosen party, hold a public hearing, and get council approval. The steering committee said it recommended the I-74 site because it's visible from the interstate, already within the city limits and enterprise zone, has access to utilities, is close to several hotels, and has one owner, Riverbend Development Incorporated, a corporation associated with the late Lou Mervis family, which owns Mervis Industries. Adam Mervis is the president of Riverbend, and Michael Mervis is the secretary, according to the Illinois Secretary of State's website. Vermilion Advantage lists the 42-acre site at a price of $30,000 an acre, which would be $1,260,000 for the entire property. In the initial presentation to aldermen by developer Dave Cocaigne, a former Mervis Industries employee, it was estimated that a casino site would need to be at least 20 to 25 acres. Laura Mayer, communications manager for Rockford, one of the other cities to get a casino license in the new legislation, said it has not yet received any proposals, but expects to get some just in time for its August 30th deadline. Like Danville, debate has emerged in Rockford over possible sites downtown along the city's riverfront versus a property along the interstate. Also like Danville, Rockford is facing potential casino competition across the border, in Wisconsin, in Rockford's case. A Danville development could face competition from a future casino in Terre Haute, Indiana. In a letter to city officials and those reviewing development proposals, Campbell wrote that an investment group called the Hanlon Group, consisting of Dave Hanlon, whom he describes as a casino expert, real estate developer Sean Temple of P3 Advisors, and himself and his wife Kim, submitted a letter of interest to develop a casino on July 10th. He did not say whether he is investing his own money or what his role is in the group. In 2009, Craig Campbell was president and CEO, and Kim Campbell was vice president of First National Bank of Danville, when that and five other Illinois banks controlled by the Campbell family failed and were closed by the U.S. Office of the Comptroller of Currency. The Campbells filed for a Chapter 7 bankruptcy in 2010. The bankruptcy ended in July 2016, according to federal records, and the $142 million in claims that weren't paid included millions claimed by the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation in connection with the bank's failure. In his letter to city officials about the casino proposal, Craig Campbell mentions that he and his wife ran First National from 1999 to 2009, but does not mention its failure. He also describes a few sites in downtown Danville where the group would like to develop a casino, with the top of the list being 9 acres the city owns between the David S. Palmer Arena and Memorial Bridge on Gilbert Street. But nearly half of that property is in a floodplain, and much of the rest is at a steep grade, dropping 50 feet from street level to the floodplain. Campbell said they could build up to 2 or 3 levels, and references ice at the arena, adding that they've considered including a few sheets of ice and establishing the Old Vermilion Curling Club. The second option, he said, is buying the old National Bank building across from the arena for additional parking and building a pedestrian bridge to it. That property is currently for sale, listed at a price of $4.5 million. Their third option, Campbell said, is nearly 40 acres the city owns on the south side of the Vermilion River, east of Gilbert Street. Roughly 20 acres of that property is also in the floodplain, and much of it is also at a steep grade. Campbell again said the project could go vertical, and said that a group is working with a world-renowned architect that has historically been associated with many of the world's tallest buildings, but does not name the person, and adds that they are not under contract yet. The fourth option, he said, is to combine all these sites. He said the advantage to city-owned land is making the city a partner, so it could receive a cut of the revenue. And he touted using the downtown tax increment financing district, but the mayor emphasized that that would mean the increase in property tax revenue generated by the casino would then flow to the city and not the other taxing bodies, including the school districts and the county. Our next story is entitled ECICAA CEO Resigning. And this is from the Commercial News and by Jennifer Bailey. Danville. After a local state representative and state agency called for her resignation months ago, East Central Illinois Community Action Agency Chief Executive Officer Angelie Thibodeau Burns is resigning this month. According to an Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity representative, Burns submitted her resignation on August 5th, with her resignation effective at the end of August. ECICAA board member Tom Stone, who has been a board member for approximately 3 years, said about Burns' resignation that negotiations continued on that issue on how long she's to stay on board. The state has continued to work with us, Stone said about operations. Everywhere the wheels continue to turn, he said about ECICAA programs continuing. He also added about Burns, there are no allegations of any misappropriation or impropriety. I think Angela has been a wonderful executive director. The history that she took over this, on this job, she stepped into an uncomfortable position from the beginning. Burns could not be reached for comment. In April, the state threatened to discontinue ECICAA's oversight of several assistance programs, including the Low Income Energy Assistance Program, the Community Services Block Grant Program, and the Illinois Home Weatherization Assistance Program, unless Burns resigned. The April letter from Aaron Guthrie, the ID CEO's acting director, cited a number of issues regarding ECICAA's administration of assistance programs, its lack of a permanent director of finance, conflicts of interest, and treatment of employees. However, despite many months of corrective action plan and extensive assistance from the department, the problems at East Central are ongoing with insufficient overall improvement, and the department has become increasingly concerned regarding East Central's long-term viability as a qualified low-income home energy assistance program. Illinois Home Weatherization Assistance Program and Community Services Block Grant Provider for the eligible residents in Ford, Iroquois, and Vermilion County. Guthrie's letter said, the department strongly believes that these systemic issues are largely due to your leadership. The department is requiring that you resign your chief executive officer position and that you no longer have any oversight over or involvement with the department's grants. Guthrie noted late grant applications, failure to spend almost half of its available weatherization funds, late payments to contractors, and failure to follow fiscal regulations. Guthrie's letter also cited bullying and intimidation by Burns directed toward employees. Given the extenuating circumstances described herein, Guthrie's letter said, the only path forward is a change in East Central's leadership. ECICAA was formed in 1965 and incorporated in February 1966 in response to the Economic Opportunity Act of 1964 and launching of the War on Poverty. It is located at 56 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Its mission is to provide information, training, education, professional development, and other services that engage and empower families and communities to become self-sufficient. It serves Vermilion, Ford, and Iroquois counties. And that takes us to the end of our time for today, Tuesday, August 20th, 2019. This is Greg. It's been a pleasure to read for you today, and I hope you have a wonderful day. Take care.